Hi everybody, this is my second podcast of 2021, and today I would like to talk a little bit about downsizing my possessions. I made a video and posted it on YouTube on last week. But today, I'd like to expand a little bit on what was my experience with minimizing and what were the pitfalls I encountered and what are the takeaways that might actually serve you. I understand that each of you might perceive this topic differently to begin with. So for some of you, minimalism is a term you know. Maybe you already follow some people who are active regarding this topic. Maybe you don't even know what it is and you would need some definition. So I'm going to provide a basic one here, but mainly I really going to focus on my experience. So starting with what it is and what it's going to be for me during this post, minimalism, for the sake of this talk, is a life approach that should lead you to approach your possessions mindfully and only keeping those that are serving your mission, that are helping you to achieve what is important for you. And getting rid of everything else that actually stands in the way and it's blurring your focus on what's important. Of course, there are people who can put it more succinctly. And many of them were my inspiration before I started my minimalist journey, if you will. And if you feel that my voice is flickering a little bit, it's because the word minimalism itself became kind of a buzzword over the last couple of years, and some people are using it mindlessly, some people are shying away from it, so I'm trying to be frugal with using this word. So if you don't like it, if it's trigger for you, you can think about downsizing your possessions, you can think about mindfulness regarding your possessions, but we're going to be talking about the same thing here. I started really considering what I own and how it's serving or not serving me in 2013. And it was the first time I actually worked with a personal coach. I had a couple of coaching sessions with a volunteer who was kind enough to offer this to people who were interested. And I tried it. And it was a lady who suggested in our, I think, second sitting that I should look into a book that was outlining this, and the book was having a pretty esoteric title. It was called Feng Shui and Cleaning, or something like that in my language. I'll find the description of the book and the title, and I'll put it in the comments on my website. And on YouTube post if you're going to be watching it. But you can find it definitely under the title Feng Shui and Cleaning, or Feng Shui and Decluttering. And this little book opened up for me the possibility of perceiving the physical possessions as something that might actually make things more difficult rather than easier. It was new for me because I was brought up in 1980s in what used to be communist Czechoslovakia back then. And the culture of the country and the way I was brought up was very frugal. So You can look up on Wikipedia the term shortage economy. And if you have relatives in this region, then you may know what I mean. So we didn't starve in 1980s communist country. We had enough to eat, and we didn't have a shortage of the basic goods. However, we had a shortage of things that were considered special or luxuries back then. That's you wouldn't call a luxury, not a long stretch in a first world country. To give you one example, just for many of them, post-it notes. There was no such thing as post-it notes available on the market, or, you know, stickers in general, like white stickers to use as labels for jars or folders or anything. These were not available. You had to use glue and a piece of paper, and you literally had to glue stuff. So if I got my hands on self-adhesive stickers, these were treasured possessions, and I was very scroogey when using them. And this goes for a lot of daily items, you would say today. So I was hoarding, and I'm talking about the 2013 now. In 2013, I was still hoarding some things that you would not consider worth keeping. Stationery, you know, these luxurious self-adhesive stickers, a lot of blank papers, staples. And other things that could be useful one day, because that's one line of reasoning when you live in a country that doesn't have a market economy and things are not that readily available. You are living with the mindset that anything and everything may come useful at some point, and things are difficult to obtain or difficult to get. So that was the mindset that led me to hoard stuff. And I should say I was never really a hoarder in the sense of having really a lot of properties. But I had a lot of books that I thought I was going to read someday. And I wasn't reading them year after year. Because I was brought up as in a mindset that books are not being thrown out. I had a lot of excess clothes and bedding, because, you know, you're not throwing out towels and bed sheets. These are useful and they are not broken, so you keep them. And all of these things were kind of taking up space, not just physically, but mentally. So that's how I started in 2013, and after reading that book about feng shui and cleaning, I started looking into the topic, and I found what you can easily Google. I found first Joshua Becker and his uncluttered website and book about minimalism. I found my dear mentor and coach and great inspiration, Leo Babauta, and his Zen Habits program. And I also found The Minimalists, so the Joshua Becker and Ryan Nicodemus and their website talking about minimizing. A bit later, I also found this so popular these days, Marie Kondo and The Joy of Cleaning book. So I devoured all of those, and they helped me clarify what to keep and what to let go over the years. So in 2013, I started with putting aside the possessions that were left in my apartment after my girlfriend at the time broke up with me, and she left a lot of her stuff behind. And it was the constant reminder, mental reminder of what is in my past, of something that's holding me back, something that was preventing me mentally from moving on. As I moved it out eventually, I realized that I have a lot of stuff like that, not necessarily from a relationship, but from my past. So I had a lot of toys that I wasn't going to play with, and my mom insisted I keep them for my kids in the future. So I was just hoarding them and saving them. I had a lot of books, including child books or the books related to topics I was not interested in anymore, but I was keeping them because you don't throw books. That's how I was brought up in my family, and maybe in my country in general. You don't throw out books. Books are sacred, and you're a bad person. You're a barbarian if you throw out books. And I little by little started to let these things go. The biggest push, I think, was 2016, when I joined the online course by Joshua Becker, whom I already mentioned. The course is called Uncluttered, and Joshua is still offering this course, and it guides you through the stages of decluttering. It helps a lot, and it has a social element when you are posting pictures of the stuff you are removing from your home to this group, so you can kind of share your victories with others and you can see guidance. And since then, I encountered some new challenges in this area, but that's for the future. So for today, I really want to just sum up a few tips that I mentioned in the video that I published last week. And what I'm suggesting there are actually five steps. And the steps are the following ones. So I'm saying, number one, start with categories that are not emotionally charged for you. Number two, celebrate your small wins. Number three, work your way up to difficult stuff. Number four, accept resistance as part of the process. And finally, number five, have fun along the way. So I'm gonna give you one example per category. So the first point, the first advice: start with the categories that are not emotionally charged. That relates to the fact that we are different people. We have different preferences, different hobbies, and the most difficult stuff to declutter is the stuff that brings up emotions for you. Marie Kondo, Joshua Becker, all of these authors, they are actually addressing this issue, and they suggest to start with something that's easy. So, starting with the interior of your car, there are probably old pieces of chewing gum or parking ticket stubs or something you are not emotionally attached to. That's what Joshua suggests. Marie Kondo suggests to start with cutlery and kitchenware, because that usually doesn't bring emotional attachment. That's all true, but if you are a passionate cook, maybe kitchenware is difficult for you, and pots and pans are something special that you want to keep and hold on to. So I would suggest you start with the category that is least emotional for you individually. If you're not into cooking, then kitchenware is probably a good way to start. For me, the least emotionally charged possessions are, bedding, bed sheets, extra towels, stuff like that. Cleaning supplies, of course, and I used to have excess of cleaning supplies, so I got rid of some of it. And if you've seen my videos, you've seen how I dress. So for me, clothes and let's say cosmetics are not emotionally charged items. I can toss them and I don't feel regrets. I'm okay with that. If you are someone who is into fashion a lot, clothes might not be the best way to start with. So ask yourself first, what is the least emotionally charged possession for you, and start there. Number two, celebrate your small wins. So in this case, what I highly, highly recommend is taking pictures of the things that you are letting go. By taking the picture, looking at it later on, you can actually see the amount of possessions that you downsized, that you got rid of. It's so easy to forget after getting rid of stuff that it was even there. You know, you feel great when it's gone, you feel great at the moment, that the week later it becomes the new standard, that, you know, the pile of stuff is not there. So I actually suggest you take a picture of the room, of the space, before and after. Take a picture of the heaps of things that you are decluttering. And celebrate every item that goes out. And look back. Because most of the items that you got rid of are not going to be missed by you. You will not even remember you had them. So just looking back at how it was before and after can feel rewarding. So reward yourself by this at least. Number three, work your way to the more difficult stuff. And here you want to consider what is a little bit more emotionally charged for you. And once you tackle the easy parts, you can summon the courage and go to these categories. For me, something in the middle would be electronics, it would be sports supplies, sport equipment, and I can work with that with a moderate sense of challenge. The hardest thing for me, and I'm still in this phase of the process now, years later, are surprisingly maybe papers. Old papers, especially, you know, hard copies of articles that I printed years ago, and I highlighted them. So they are dear to me. I still want to, I made a commitment. I made a promise to myself I'm going to read them. So by tossing them, I feel that I'm betraying my former self and not doing my homework that I assigned to myself. These are hard. For some of you, it would be totally different. So think about it. What is hardest for you to let go and leave this till the very end? Rest assured that even if you do it this way, even if you approach it progressively through the stages, there's gonna be resistance in a way. And that's the point number four. Accept the resistance. Don't expect it to go away or disappear. And especially don't expect it to disappear quickly. I think the lesson I learned fairly late in the process was that the resistance is always going to be there. You're going to be able to tackle bigger challenges as you grow, as you practice. But bigger challenge means bigger resistance. So you will be able to handle more resistance as you grow as a person. But don't expect that everything is going to be effortless. There is no happily ever after. There is always more work to do. But it's okay. Because what you want to do, and that's the point number five, and it's a closing comment of this call or of this podcast, is you want to have fun along the way. Just the process of putting your mind into it, thinking through what is serving and what is not, can be fun exercise in decision making. And if you celebrate your small wins, if you are starting with the items that are on the right level of difficulty for you, it is actually fun, not just looking back, but in the process of doing it. So remember, having fun in the process as you go, that's what life is about. Because at the end of the day, whatever you do, however you tackle it, life is a journey that is going to end the same way for all of us. Well, thank you. That's all I have for today. And stay tuned for my next video that's coming up on Wednesday. And I'm going to tackle the measuring mechanism, or if you want, accountability mechanisms. How do I make sure that I'm actually doing the work? And how do I track what was being done? Thanks again. Have a lovely day.